listening Dog Media.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Music, sport, history. Stories from the people of the city. The Manc Made Podcast with Jack Wood.
All right, I'm Jack Wood. You listen to the Manc Made Podcast. This is the first podcast we've recorded entirely within isolation. I am in my living room right now. I've just finished chatting to the chef, Anthony Fielden. He runs the Northern Quarter restaurant TNQ, one of the first restaurants in the Northern Quarter that really sort of got the hustle and bustle of that foodie area began. And we chat about recommendations for if you're wanting to go into that industry, how he got into that industry. And do you know what? The fears of opening up post-lockdown. So yeah, it was a good chat. And cheers for popping to, I'm guessing, is this your living room you're in?
No, it's the kids' playroom.
It's the kids' playroom.
Yeah.
They've been kicked out, they've been turfed out.
Yeah, I've been demoted.
Yeah, well, thanks for popping on, mate, and joining us on the Manc Made Podcast.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
And could you just explain to listeners who might not know who you are, like just what you do and where about in Manchester you're working, sort of thing?
Yeah, so I'm called Anthony Fielden, head chef and director at TNQ Restaurant in the Northern Quarter, the Northern Quarter Restaurant and Bar. Mm. So run the kitchen day to day, sort of co-own the business with my partner, Job Ferguson. So yeah, we've been open as a restaurant nearly 16 years. Wow. It'll be this October. So yeah, we've been there a long time.
And you've been the head chef at that point the whole time?
No, I've been there nearly 14 years. Probably head chef for 13 and a half years there. Then became director about 6-7 years ago. Think so. Yeah, just been going strength to strength through the years, really. But yeah, it seems like a bit of a lifetime.
Yeah,
being there, it's quite a while for someone to stick around in this industry.
Well, what has kept you at the same restaurant for so long then?
Just it's brilliant. Love it. The whole vibe of the place, especially as being one of the first places to open in the Northern Quarter that long ago. It was really quiet back then. Then just seeing the whole area as a whole grow has been really interesting. And obviously, from that, the business has gone from strength to strength with more people in the area. And working with Job as well, just being given free rein to do what we want to do in the kitchen. And we've just been trying to improve on that year on year. So just getting a bit more refined all the time.
So in a way, like, I guess, because Northern Quarter has become hugely foodie over the last few years. So in a way, did you think other people saw how your restaurant was doing and went, well, this is working?
Yeah, possibly, yeah. Yeah. Although not giving any sort of direct feedback about that. But yeah, we've had a really good client over the years and managed to keep all our regulars. People just keep coming back time and time again. Mm. And there'll obviously be a lot of word of mouth and then more footfall as well, especially with places like the Macumere opening as well, because we're just like tucked away in that little corner. So that brings a lot more people past the restaurant that didn't know we were there. So people go up there for a drink and then sort of pop down to us for a proper sit-down meal.
So before you got in, you started working at TNQ, like what started you chefing? What was that first like job or first initial foray into the world of cooking?
First started cooking probably with my mum when I was a kid. And then she went back to work full time when I went to high school. And I thought the best way to get out washing the pots was come home and cook dinner for everyone.
Was that something you'd make from scratch, or was it like sticking fish fingers in the tray?
Yeah, make a spag bol, make a chili, bits like that, and then a lot of things that didn't taste very good.
Did you always experiment then? Or was it always like...
Little bits, yeah.
Yeah.
But back then when I was like 14, 15, it was more a case of put everything that's in the cupboard in and see how it turns out. And then,
so at what stage did it go from that to then, okay, I want to work in a kitchen?
I got a job at Wetherspoons Pub when I was 17 in the kitchen there. And it lasted a couple of months. I thought, I can't do this.
Yeah, what this was it like? So it is, because I've worked in like a sort of pub restaurant type thing where it was a lot of microwave meals.
Yeah, you've got literally a wall of microwaves and a few fryers and not much else really.
Did that put you off? Did that nearly put you off if you thought that's what you were going to do? Did you go in as a chef there? Or were you like, you went in straight as a chef and you were just, it's all timing that, isn't it? Because they're just pinging it at the right time and getting everything out.
But then I thought, no, this isn't actually cooking. I can do better at home. So I had a friend who worked in a restaurant in Swinton. So he knew I was interested in cooking. He was a waiter. They had a chef walk out one night and gave me a ring and said, I've told the boss about you. There's a job there and starters if you want it. So yeah, I took that and then the rest is history.
So you didn't do any formal training to be a chef?
No,
you just went straight in and did it on the job?
Yeah,
is that rare?
No, not at all. I think I found in recent years, the training given at college to chefs isn't what it used to be. When it used to be the old City and Guilds qualifications. You get kids coming out of college now and looking for a job thinking, yeah, I'm a chef now. But you ask them to make something simple and just like pretty clueless.
So in a way, is it better to come in with sort of a clean palate and then learn as you're doing from the chef at the place you're working?
I would say so. So then straight away you're learning the work ethic and the hours involved and the unsociability of it all.
So what I'm interested in, because you went from Wetherspoons where you're basically sort of, it was pre-constructed food you were doing, to making starters, which is quite complicated because it has to look a certain way, it has to be done a certain way. Like, how did you learn that on the job? What was that like? I'm guessing you just come in on the first day and just whip
just
up everything.
Sort of shadowing someone and watch how they do it. And then one shift, not long after starting, you're just thrown in. And it's a bit of sink or swim.
Yeah.
Luckily, I did all right.
So then you started on starters there. What was that restaurant called, by the way?
it was quite a long time ago now. Yeah. It was called Isis.
Oh, wow.
in Swinton. I don't think it's called that anymore.
Probably not. And then from Isis, where did you move on to?
From there, I went to a place called Monton Brasserie. Stayed there for a couple of years. And then
were you still in starters there? Is that how it progresses? Do you want to move from starters to
something? Yeah, so the first place was that, moved around the kitchen quite a bit. It was a sort of Italian restaurant. So onto doing pizza section, then pastas, then onto main courses. So fortunately, I learned pretty quick. I managed to sort of move around the kitchen quite easily.
Yeah.
So then Monton Brasserie stepped up straight away because it was only a small place. But I went as junior sous chef, just like second in command. And then did a couple of years there and then went to Piccolino when that first opened in Manchester, just off Albert Square. And that was great at the time, really good restaurant. Not long after it first opened. So yeah, that was a good experience. And then from there went to Duke's 92 in Albert Shed in Castlefield.
Yeah, so really popular, had, big place that.
So when Duke's had just been, Albert Shed had just been built. So I was there for about 8 months and then took over as head chef there. I think I'd only just turned 23 then.
Wow. That's young for a head chef, right?
Yeah. I was offered it and I was going to turn it down and just stay in the position I was in. But my girlfriend at the time, who was also working there, who's now my wife, she encouraged me to give it a crack. It's better to do something and regret it than not do it at all.
So when you're a head chef, you're designing the menu, you're like making sure what everything's coming out is that's a completely different, in a way, it's not just following a recipe anymore. You are creating the recipe.
Yeah.
And you seem to have gone through a lot of different, like, you had an Italian sort of training, then you've gone to, like, what you do now is more British sort of food. Like, is that something you just always had a passion for? Do you have to research? How do you find the ideas for these, like, new...
Spending a fortune on cookbooks. Yeah. A lot of reading. So, again, these days, the internet's absolutely fantastic for looking at stuff. Type in any ingredient and you'll come up with this huge thing of like different recipes and all sorts you can do. Yeah, lots of reading cookbooks when I was a lot younger. And then just trying stuff out, eating out, see what's good, see what you like, and hopefully other people will.
So eating out is research for you and tax deductible. Yeah. Mm. I like it. This is the job I need.
Yeah.
But so now you're the head chef at TNQ, and I read on the website you try and change the menu every 3 months. Is that the challenge you've set for yourself, or is that something you have to do at these more high-end restaurants?
Because we've got a lot of regular customers. You want to try and keep menus and stuff fresh for them. So they keep coming back. There's always something new and interesting to try rather than just the same menu year in, year out. And obviously you change it 4 times a year. So we go with the seasons, spring, summer, autumn, winter. So there's always different produce available at different times of year. So you try and utilize what's best at that time of the year.
Have you seen this? Like, there's always like food trends, isn't there? Year on year. Has there been any for, like, obviously before the lockdown happened, is there any like trends for 2020 you were sort of seeing coming through that were a bit interesting?
No, not yet. No.
So it sort of halted that slightly.
Yeah, it's been a sort of an enforced 3 month sabbatical.
Yeah. So what have, like, obviously since lockdown, restaurants had to shut in March. Like, how has that been for you? What have you been doing all this time?
It was pretty stressful the first week when the announcement was made, don't go to bars, restaurants, but we weren't told to shut.
No.
So that was a pretty interesting, stressful week.
What did you do out of interest? Did you stay open?
Yeah, we stayed open. Thought there's bound to be some sort of announcement. So, but the best thing to do is just hold fire and sort of keep all our staff, don't let anybody go, and just hope that somebody's going to make an announcement and do the right thing. And luckily, they did. The furlough package and everything was fantastic for the hospitality trade.
It did feel like at the first announcement, it was advised that people don't go out to pubs and restaurants, which leaves you in a horrible financial situation where you're not getting any help and you're struggling. And then obviously now that the furlough scheme's come through, that's great. But then we're recording this the day before you're allowed to open pubs and restaurants again. What's your mentality towards that, towards opening up at the moment?
Obviously, like I mentioned before, we're going to take a cautious approach to it rather than just rush into it because we can. Luckily, we are sort of stable financially at the moment. So we're not desperate to get those pounds back in the bank, although that would be nice. But I think it's sensible to just keep that cautious approach and give us a couple of weeks just to see how other places are putting measures in place, see what's happening. If there is a trader out there, people wanting to come out and dine again.
Do you think you'll eat out before you open your restaurant?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'd be more inclined to go and eat out rather than go to the pub. But even though I would still like to do that. just not this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a mad one. But during lockdown, have you been doing deliveries? Have you been trying to adapt to make sure things are still coming through?
We've done a couple of click and collect takeaway Sunday roasts. We did one on Father's Day and then one 3 weeks before that. And they went down really well. Lots of good feedback, lots of happy customers. I think for Father's Day we did just over 100.
Oh, wow.
Which is really good.
And they were click and collect. People came to the restaurant, safely, distance and stuff like that.
Yeah. We had set 3 orders, each 15 minutes. So person comes up, ready to collect, and then just get everything ready, package it all, hand it over. So yeah, they're on the premises for like 3 minutes tops. So it all went really nice and smooth.
Has that made you rethink in any way, like how you would run a restaurant in the future? Because obviously this is, it's not going to wait, this virus, and you never know if this is going to come up again. Is it made you think, well, maybe I always have to have some sort of takeaway option?
Yeah. We're going to always have a takeaway available, either come to the restaurant itself through click or collect, or through delivery companies. I think everybody's going to have to adapt and do that just to try and keep more trade going. Yeah, so that's definitely one that's going to change for every restaurant, I think.
Yeah, and does that change how sort of you cook the food in a way? Because of, if you're thinking about how it's being delivered, like I guess you have less control over how it's then displayed and stuff like that, which is part of the art form.
Yeah, it's doing the Sunday roast. So I did a few starters for that as well. So it's weird putting stuff into boxes rather than trying to make it look pretty on a plate. It was a bit of an eye-opener. Then loads of customers sent stuff back and pictures of how they plated it, and it was great. You get a sort of another sort of bit of interaction with your customers, which was good.
Oh, that's lovely then. I was thinking as well, because it's if I've got a chef on the line over Zoom, it'd be stupid of me not to ask, like, what's one thing that every like home cook should know that'll just make it easier for them when cooking at home? Like, is there any skills or tips you'd say I should have?
You're cooking meat, got to let it rest. So steak.
What does that mean? Because people tell you that, and I don't like people like let it rest. Like, what am I doing with that?
Just
like,
give it a pillow and a cup of tea.
Yeah, just really treat it well. Does that literally mean just like, so I cook it and then I'll let it just lay out for a bit?
Yeah. Put it on a warm plate or chopping board and just let it sit there. Say 5 minutes, like a joint of beef or something. You can let it rest up for like half an hour, 40 minutes. Then freeze your oven up for doing your roast potatoes and stuff like that. But yeah, so, always let it rest.
Always let it rest. So and what does that actually do? Does it just enhance the flavour?
During cooking, all the sort of blood and moisture in the meat, so it goes to the outside. So when you let it rest, all the juice and everything just seeps back down into the meat. And so if you cut into it straight away, then all the steam that comes out, that's all your moisture in the meat just evaporating. So yeah, all that juiciness just goes straight back down into the meat.
So patience
keeps it nice and tender. Yes, definitely.
Yes, lovely. And do you know, like, I've been rubbish at chopping. How quick do you get good at chopping? Like, because, like, I just want to... Do you know when you see a chef on TV, and it's like, people going for it? Like, is that something you have to practice at home, or does it just become, like, a second skill?
After losing about 12 knuckles, then you seem to get pretty good then, just because you don't want the blood everywhere or the pain.
Of course. Well, we've got to talk a little bit more about the Northern Court, which you've, in a way, your restaurant's played a part in. Sort of expanding and becoming this big cultural hub of Manchester. So what have you seen in terms of like restaurant growth in the Northern Quarter over the last few years? How have you seen it change?
Just the sheer amount of places that there are now is incredible. I think like 15 years ago, there was hardly anything around. It was pretty much deserted. A few dodgy shops. Not many other places. So now the amount of bars and restaurants, like smaller eateries and stuff, it's absolutely fantastic. And a real sort of diverse amount of things as well, especially where it's grown out in towards Ancoats and stuff. And there's some brilliant places out there now. You can literally choose any cuisine you want. And within the radius of the Northern Quarter and Ancoats, you can pretty much find it, I reckon.
Is it quite, because it is a small area really when you think about it. Is it quite competitive between the restaurants? Like,
I've not noticed like competitive. I think the amount of places just helps everybody there with the amount of footfall, and it's healthy competition. So obviously you don't want to be left behind. So it inspires you on to sort of keep things nice and fresh, like with the changing the menus quite often, mixing things up and trying to refine the offerings that you give, just to always try and strive to be a little bit better.
Yeah. And you've obviously been successful at opening a restaurant in Novogore and keeping it open, whereas like there has been some restaurants that have opened and then had to shut in a couple of years. Like, what has made that a success, you reckon? What could you recommend if someone's ever looking to open a restaurant in Manchester?
Interesting question. I really don't know why we've stayed. I think we just offer that bit in between. So we're just a bit above bistro, brasserie. We're not quite fine dining. We're just a nice little bit in between. Sort of modern British food, inspired by the whole world, really. I think that's put us in good stead. Trying to be not too niche, not too casual, but not too fancy. We've just got, I think we've found a really nice balance. So very welcoming. It's not an intimidating dining room. The menus, there's always something on there that anyone would be able to eat. I think that's one of the main reasons why we've had been able to last so long.
Yeah, well, that's great advice. And also, because you came up through working in restaurants yourself, do you offer do you bring in like young chefs into your restaurant as well, and then they can work their way up?
Yeah, definitely. At the moment, I've got a really good team at the moment. They've all been there quite a while, especially my sous chef, Steve. They're really good. And it's always nice for yourself as well. So, you know, people aren't going to hang around forever. So when you do get a new chef who's young and stay with you for a couple of years, then to see them go on to something different and see their career progress and know that you've had a part of sort of shaping and molding how they do things is quite rewarding.
What could you recommend for someone who's wanting to become a chef? Like, what would you recommend for them to like how to approach it, how to approach restaurants? Should they go out and get some skills before coming to them, or can
go out and eat, cook as much as you can at home, buy cookbooks, just practice all the time, and then start off at the bottom and don't get carried away and above your station. Just slowly work your way up and sort of refine your skills and work at different places as well, so trying lots of different types of cuisine.
Just research then, that sounds great. And I just wanted to say, because obviously you're delaying opening the restaurant till later on in the month, is there a fear about going back to that work slightly? Like, because obviously you're putting yourself out there more than you would have done for months. Are you like worried about that? Are you worried for your customers and stuff like that?
Obviously there's a little bit of trepidation. We just want to make sure that everything is safe for the staff as well as the customers. Make sure everyone's safe and happy. And it's in an environment where people do want to come out. Look, we've got a big outdoor space which we have every year through the summer, weather depending. Just can't wait to get back. We had a meeting with all the staff the other day, talk about what we're doing and what we're planning for reopening. Everyone's just really excited and can't wait to get back.
Have you found the guidance from like the government and local authorities to be enough to sort of make you feel like they know what's the best way and recommendations for opening a restaurant again?
It's been a little bit patchy. There's been guidelines issued, but they are just guidelines. It would be, I think, better to have, this is what is needed, and a little bit stricter. Because there's a lot of reading between the lines of, people sat side to side or back to back, and do you have screens? Do you not have screens? How many people can you actually fit in a certain amount of space and all this? So it would have been useful to have things properly set out rather than guidelines, which can be open to interpretation.
Well, that's the worry, obviously, because obviously you're trying your best, like, you're working really hard to make sure it's safe and everything, but then there could be some places that just maybe lack the sense in a way, but are still within the guidelines, and then that's what becomes dangerous. So
which is why we're taking that cautious approach and leaving it a couple of weeks just so we can go around and see what other people are doing and see what's working and what might not be working. So when we do reopen, we make sure that it's done right.
Well, that sounds incredibly sensible. And cheers for chatting to us about all this. It's been great.
No problem. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, mate, it's good to have you on. And I'm expecting a free meal, so that's great. and whenever we get someone to pop on, we always ask them, if you could summarise Manchester or the Manx spirit or a Manx person in like one word, what word would you go for?
Fun.
Fun. I like it. And let's just say Manchester, for some great, weird catastrophe. I mean, we've had too many of those in 2020 already. Broke away from the rest of the UK. And we had to elect a leader from within Manchester. Who would you want to be that leader?
Oh, wow. Liam Gallagher would be pretty amusing.
Just his tweets.
It'd certainly be an interesting place to live with him in charge.
Yeah, I think the pubs would be open way sooner if he'd had this sense. But Ant, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure.